Scriptures to Luke chapter 6 this morning. Luke chapter 6, as we close out this chapter this morning. Luke and chapter 6. Let's hear God's word together. Beginning in verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream broke out against that house, could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let's pray. Father, you have spoken in your Son. You've given us his words in the Holy Scriptures. And Father, as we turn to them this morning, would you do for us what your Son intended as he spoke these words, what your Holy Spirit intended as he inspired Luke to write them down as they are here in the text before us this morning? Would you address us this morning? And would by your Spirit our ears be opened and our eyes be opened and our hearts be opened to hear and to do, Lord, for the glory of your name. And for our everlasting and eternal joy, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Jesus in Luke chapter 6 here, he's been preaching. Don't want to forget that. He's been preaching. He called his disciples together and as he intends to launch them in this time of discipleship with him, ultimately in their mission to the world, he lays some foundations here in this preaching. And this morning we're going to look at his conclusion. This is Jesus drawing to a head everything that he's been saying in this section of Scripture. He's bringing it home in one final press upon our souls. And we're going to look at this text in three parts. It falls naturally into three parts. And so we want to first look at the way that Jesus addresses us with a searching question. Jesus addresses us this morning with a searching question. As you sit here, you came in here from outside this morning. You gathered. Maybe you came all by yourself. Maybe you came with your family. I know most of you, but I don't know all of you. As you sit here this morning, we can say without any question that it has been ordained from God from all eternity that you'd be sitting here this morning. We can say that with confidence because you're here. It has been ordained from all eternity that you would sit here this morning. It's also, therefore, been ordained from all eternity that you would hear these words this morning. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Jesus cuts to the chase. He just drives straight at our hearts this morning. He addresses the question to us sitting here this morning with the sun shining outside, and he doesn't kind of come at it sort of around here and build it up for a while and get to just, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? The problem of profession without practice, the problem of hearing without obedience, the problem of empty words has been around for a very long time. You just flip back in your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. Give you a moment to find it. It's right about there. Ezekiel 33. The prophet addresses the people thousands of years before today. And he says this. We'll begin in verse 30. Ezekiel 33. As for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people. And they hear what you say, but they will not do it. And they hear what you say, but they will not do it. The problem of profession without practice, the problem of hearing without obedience, has been around for a very long time. It was around in the time of Ezekiel. It existed when Jesus first spoke these words here, recorded for us in Luke chapter 6. And it's present here today in 2019. Where did that one come from? 2019. Hear the question again, the searching question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? As Jesus addresses us this morning, there are those of us who come with these words, Lord, Lord. But what accompanies the words of our mouths is not obedience. It's not glad-hearted submission to the Word of God. It's not the doing of the will of God. It's lips that praise the Lord, but hearts that are far from Him. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Do not do what I tell you. And as we look at this question, this searching question this morning, let's open it up a little bit to see the disjunction that exists between those two realities. Lord, Lord. And not doing what He tells us. Lord, Lord, and a failure of obedience. This address, this twofold, Lord, Lord, is, first of all, it's an address of intimacy. It's an address of intimacy. We see that in the Bible. Often this kind of address is used. And here, that's what it is. It's an address of intimacy. These professors are claiming a particular kind of relationship with Jesus Christ. They're claiming with these two words, Lord, Lord, they are claiming a particular kind of relationship with Jesus. One of a personal knowledge. One of a personal intimacy. They're claiming to have this relationship. And we see that initial disjunction, this disconnect. Claiming to have a relationship with this man, Jesus Christ, and yet we see in his ministry, he takes on this role of prophet, of teacher, and he teaches with authority, says the scriptures. And yet, there's people among the group here, they come along with Jesus and they hear his authoritative proclamations. And they say by their words, Lord, Lord, yes, I'm with you. I'm here. I'm related to you. I'm your disciple. And yet they don't do what Jesus says. But the disjunction, the disconnect goes deeper than that. When we think of the words themselves, Lord, Lord. Now, people debate, is all Jesus saying here is that they're claiming this intimate relationship. It means nothing more than, you know, master or teacher, which that is within the range of the meaning of that word. But generally, I am confused by why people go to lengths to say, no, that's all that present here. It's not Lord in the sense of exalted and reigning and kingly work here, not in sense of a high Christology that sees Jesus identified with Yahweh. And the reason I'm confused by that is because we read the passage already. And he's going to go on to say that there's two kinds of people. There's those who come to him, the man standing here speaking. They hear what he says. They do what he says. And upon that reality, their lives then are unshakable by the oppositions, the trials, the temptations that come, and finally, the judgment at the end. Not only their stability in this life, but ultimately, their stability in the final judgment of God rests upon their relationship to the words of this man speaking here. That's a pretty significant claim. If I stood before you, and I said, you come and you say, Eric, but you don't do what I tell you. Some of you would be like, so what? But then if I went on to claim that the stability of your life and your eternal destiny rests upon coming to me, hearing my words, and doing what I say, is there a claim to higher authority on this earth? No, the disjunction, the disconnect is massive. Here is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here is the one who possesses all authority. The one who addresses you and me this morning sitting here is the exalted Son of God, risen and reigning at the right hand of the Father, the one who is right now having all things put in subjection to his feet, and the final enemy that he will see submitted to him to be defeated is death itself. That is the one that we address when we claim this kind of relationship with him. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? It's a searching question. I hope it's pressing in on my heart and your heart this morning. The one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. The one of whom we read in Philippians chapter 2. Verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let me press it in this morning. If you have the profession of being a child of God by faith, if you have the profession of being a Christian, if you have the profession of faith in Jesus Christ, this Christ, it is your confession that Jesus is Lord. Hear the searching question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Jesus presses it in on us with first a strong encouragement. He uses an illustration two ways. And the first illustration is a strong encouragement. Look at the words of the text, verse 47. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose and the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. Jesus gives us first, in light of this searching question, a strong encouragement in this illustration. There's two kinds of people. We saw last week that Jesus does this frequently. There's two kinds of people. The searching question is to reveal to us which one we are. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? But he begins with the positive, a strong encouragement. Here's what the one who comes to him and hears his words and does them is like. He takes this image of a man who's going to build a house. And he's going to build this house, and so he, first of all, he sets to work carefully. He doesn't just start. He looks where he's going to build, and he digs down in the dirt until he reaches the bedrock, till he reaches something solid, something immovable, something unshakable. And then upon that rock, he begins to construct this house, stone by stone, board by board, piece by piece. He constructs from the bedrock foundation up bit by bit. And then what does Jesus say? This man who's building this house and has dug deep and has laid this foundation, he sees a storm come. He sees the river burst from its banks and come flooding across the ground, and he finds that his house remains immovable. He finds that his house stands unshakable. His house survives the force of the flood. His house survives the stream. Why? Because it was built on the solid foundation. The house survives the storm, it survives the flood, it survives the stream because it was built on the foundation. So what's the encouragement for you this morning? It's threefold. The one who has laid the foundation on the bedrock, whose house will not shake in the storm, is the one who has followed this threefold progression. Do you see it in the text there? Everyone who comes to me. The man who has laid his foundation on the rock such that when the storm comes, his house stands firm, it remains immovable, is the one who has come to Jesus Christ. We know from the scriptures that to come to Jesus is to come as one who has understood from the Bible our need before him. has understood from the scriptures our sinfulness, our desperate need before a holy God as one who stands under His just and righteous judgment. Our desperate need as a sinner by nature who is unable from the heart to trust Him or please Him or obey Him. Because we will not do that by nature. We will follow the prince of the power of the air, will follow the course of this world, will follow the desires of the flesh. But one who comes to Jesus is one who has seen all of that and then seen in the person of Jesus Christ the provision for all their need. Seen in the person of Jesus the one who obeyed in every place where they disobeyed. Seen in the person of Jesus the one who satisfied all the requirements of the law with fullness of obedience. The one who then went to a cross to bear the judgment of God in the place of those who deserve to be there. As the one, the only one who did not deserve to be there. And having made satisfaction, having made atonement, having been buried in the grave, He rose again. For the justification of all who would trust in Him, all who would cast themselves upon Him to have His righteousness credited to their account and their guilt credited and dealt with in His account. And then, having been justified by faith alone and given the Holy Spirit that they might walk in newness of life, they hear His words. This hearing is not the hearing initially or only of the gospel, but it's now hearing the full counsel and instruction and commands of the King who went to the cross on their behalf. This is the man who comes to that Jesus and then hears the words of that Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. This is the man who lays the foundation, who comes to every word of this book and receives it as the words of the crucified and risen and reigning King of the universe. And delights in them. Receives them as words from that King. Receives them with the authority that they come to him or her. And then does them. Does them. Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them. This is the man who's building on the strong foundation, the bedrock, the foundation of Jesus Christ Himself, the foundation of His person and work, and who lives in light of that reality. How else could we live if we hear this man who is the eternal Son of God come in the flesh to purchase our salvation? Through His obedient life and His substitutionary death and His justifying resurrection and His righteous, godly reigning over all things, how else could we hear Him but to eagerly and quickly obey Him? Here, an example of how we ought to relate to the words of our great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the Psalms. You want to flip there? You can. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And verse 59 of Psalm 119. This is a man who is building his house on the solid foundation. This is a man who has come to Jesus. Well, we're in the Old Testament. Yes. Yes, he is. He is a man who has come to Jesus, who has bowed the knee, who has heard the words, and this is how we stand before him. Listen to these words of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 59. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. The one who has come to Jesus, as he says here in Luke chapter 6, and heard his word and does them is this man. Reflecting on our lives before God and having the searching word of the risen and reigning Lord Jesus Christ shine into our hearts, we hear its correction. We reflect, we think on our ways, and then we turn our feet to his testimonies. The one who has come to Jesus and heard Jesus and is doing what he says is this man. We are that man if we come to the Word of God and this is our desire. Lord, search me and know me. See what is grievous in me, because I want to turn my feet to your testimonies. The one who's building their house on the solid foundation, the one that can't move, is the one who comes to the Word of God this way. Not to argue with God, not to twist the words of God, but who comes as one who would come before a king seated on a throne, come into his courts with his soldiers lining the way and all of the banners flying and all of the glorious crowns visible and all of the honor that is exhibited just in the way people are standing, and comes before him and bows the knee down and says, "My king, what would you say to me? My king, what would you have me do?" Brothers and sisters, this is the only way to receive the words of the living God. If we would be the wise builder, as Matthew puts it, if we would be the one whose house is built on the solid foundation that cannot be shaken, that is who we must be. Notice what he says. I turn my feet to your testimonies. And then in verse 60, I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. The one who has come to Jesus as he is, the one who hears his words as the words of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, does not hear his words when they come to correct us, when they challenge our desires or our inclinations or our actions. We don't come and say, "Oh, you know, that's neat. I should probably kind of look into that at some point. I'll come back to that maybe in a couple years after I've kind of looked at some other things." No, when I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your commandments. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. This is the man who's building his house on the foundation that cannot be moved. And Jesus says the flood arises, the stream breaks against that house, and it cannot shake it because it's been well built. Is the house of your life built on that foundation? A repentant, trusting, coming to Jesus Christ, a hearing of his words as your Savior and Lord, and an eager desire to obey and do what he says. And when you see your failures, when you see where your obedience doesn't line up, you run back to him. You come to him to hear his words again, that you might renew your faith and obedience. This is building a house that can stand against the streams, that can stand against the trials and the floods. It's the only house that ultimately stands in the judgment. The house might look similar from the outside, but the house that's built on an empty profession, that does not walk in genuine, faith-fueled, spirit-empowered obedience, is a house that cannot stand in the trials of this life and ultimately cannot stand on the day of judgment. This is a strong encouragement because this house will stand. The house that's built on the foundation of coming to Jesus in repentance and faith, of hearing His words as one eager to do what your King says, and then in His empowerment and in your weakness and stumbling, obeying and doing what He says with as much strength as you can rest upon Him for, this house will not be shaken. It will stand. I'm going to read some words that I was reading in my preparation this week from a Scottish preacher. If I was Scottish, it would be better, so I'd be speaking Scottish right now. But from the Scottish preacher who experienced a profound tragedy in his life. He lost his wife and he grieved. But as he came back to his congregation, he said these words, "I don't think we need to be afraid of life. Our hearts are very frail. There are places where the road is very steep and very lonely, but we have a wonderful God. And as Paul puts it, what can separate us from His love? Not death," he says immediately, pushing that aside at once as the most obvious of impossibilities. "No, not death. For I, standing here," he's speaking of himself now in light of his grief, in light of his loss, "I standing here in the roaring of the Jordan, cold to the heart with its dreadful chill and very conscious of the terror of its rushing, I can call back to you, who one day in your time will have to cross it. Be of good cheer, my friend, for I feel the bottom, and it is sound." And I would submit to you, brothers and sisters, this morning that the one who has an empty profession perhaps can articulate with clarity and precision the sovereignty of God over all things and the providence of God, and yet fails to obey the risen Lord Jesus Christ, will not ultimately speak this way in the trials, in the storms. No, they will rage against God. They will thrash about here and there because their house cannot stand if it's not built on this foundation, coming and hearing and obeying what Jesus says. But Jesus ends on the warning, and so we will end on the warning. Come back to the encouragement. It's a strong encouragement. It's a beautiful promise. The foundation will hold, which is why the warning is so sober. Verse 49. "The one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." The ruin of that house was great. Notice what's left out. The one who hears. But Jesus doesn't say the one who comes and hears and does not do it. The hearing that does not result in the doing is not a coming to Jesus who, as He is. It's not a coming to Jesus as He has offered Himself for you. The hearing that just receives the words and goes about its life with no changes, with no submission, with no obedience, is a hearing that has never come to Jesus as the crucified and risen and reigning King and Savior of the world. And His house will fall. It's not that the storm will come and sort of lodge it a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, and you just kind of get that jackhammer and that jack and kind of press it back on. You know, it's not on anything. When the storms and trials come, it pushes it right off and into the river, and it's swept away. It's a sober warning. And there are different ways I want us to hear this morning. There are different ways in which we can be the one who hears and does not do. And I want to highlight one way that's subtle and deceiving. You see, in the New Testament, again and again, the writers of the New Testament will say to us things like, do not be deceived. Right? Sin is deceptive. False teachers are deceptive. There's deception that can lead us astray. And I don't want you to be deceived, because there are those who think that they've come and they're hearing and they're doing. But what happens is, every time their life and desires bump up against the clear teachings of Scripture that would call them to conform a particular area of life to the Word of God, all of a sudden, that Scripture turns out not to mean that thing after all. And so we have people who stand in pulpits and claim to profess the name of Jesus Christ and say, I know God says sexually immoral, those who practice homosexuality won't inherit the kingdom of God, but actually, you can be a hearer and a doer while refusing to obey that word. Brothers and sisters, we must be aware of this. Where might it be operating in your life? Are you prepared to submit your life to the Word of God in every area? Or do you have areas that are sectioned off? When the Word of God comes and speaks explicitly to you as a husband and says that you need to love your wife as Christ loved the church and lay down your life for her, do you hear that word? Do you heed that word? Or are you living in your home as someone who exists to be served instead of someone who gladly assumes the responsibilities that God has given you? As a woman who's married, as a wife, you hear the unmistakably clear call of God upon your life to submit in everything to your husband. Have you turned that scripture to mean something completely different so that you might convince yourself that you're obeying it? The Word of God lands very practically in our lives, many areas. We must heed what He says. He is the King, and we are His subjects. And what He says is good for us. And the only foundation that can stand is the foundation of coming to Him in repentance and faith, of hearing His words as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and of doing what He says. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Let's pray. Father, you are good, and all of your words are good. Sometimes your word cuts us like a sword. Sometimes it cuts us very deeply. Oh, Father, would we welcome that cutting this morning as the cutting not of an enemy, not of someone who would harm us, but of the cutting of the surgeon who seeks to slice deep so that the cancer can be removed. Father, would we hear this so that we might truly come, that we might truly hear, and that we might ultimately obey. Would you do that in us for the glory of your name and for our joy? Amen.